understand the warnings that you gave Israel and also the promises and or the solution you also gave Israel. And Israel being a son of God as a corporate body, then each and every individual, each and every saved individual is a son of God. And so we have many promises also. We thank you for those promises. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Ezekiel 36, just like building a block wall, here little, there little, line upon line. He says, also, thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel. And there's plenty of those in Israel, plenty of those. And say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Okay, on occasion, you can see in this context, I do believe he's talking about the literal mountains. On occasion, where the Lord said you have faith that you can move a mountain, in those occasions, the word mountain may be referring to a nation. Okay, but you kind of figure out the context. For example, D.L. Moody moved Europe and America. God used him to move both in a way. Okay, Charles Spurgeon was one that moved the area of London. God used him for that. Martin Luther, he definitely moved some things, didn't he? God used him. Okay, but in this context, it looks like it's dealing with the literal land mass, and the literal land mass has emotions. And it's going to testify. I do say that the land and the rocks around us are have a recording capability within them, and that God will utilize those things because when we walk or when we speak or when we do things, vibrations emit from us, and these vibrations can be recorded. Okay, if buildings can talk. Okay, so I dare say that the Lord just may have him do that. Okay, in verse 2, thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy hath said against you, aha, even the ancient high places are ours to possess. Okay, from the previous chapter, this is the Edomites. Okay, here's a little tidbit, a little instructional thing. If you're asking the Lord to help you regarding possibly an enemy, maybe at work, maybe in family, maybe whatnot, God is more likely to answer your prayer if you remind them they're saying, aha, and they're poking at you. Don't remind them about your goodness and your righteousness. That's a waste of time. Okay, point out that they are mocking God. And they're mocking his child. Okay, so in this context, the Edomites are saying, aha, and that would set off any parent, right? If somebody's making fun or picking on your kid, would that not set off any parent? Okay, and so that's what sets off God. And the same goes, spiritually speaking, okay, in this day, aha. And then he says, therefore prophesy and say, okay, so Ezekiel, okay, prophesying locally to about 4,200 people, okay, internationally over to Israel as God would give that power. Thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, okay, that could be literal. If you jump that into the tribulation, okay, swallowed you up on every side that ye might, okay, where are they swallowing up? In verse 2, ancient high places. That's where they sacrificed the children. So it's similar. Swallowed you up on every side that ye might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen. And ye are taken up in the lips of talkers, running their mouth, and are in infamy of the people. Therefore, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys, and to the desolate waste, and to the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey and a derision, and the residue of the heathen that are round about. Okay, so historically, yes, that did happen with Babylon to a point. But doctrinally, that is referring to tribulation time period. And he's given a promise here to the landmass that basically, that to this landmass that's desolate, that you are going to produce for Israel again. So in verse 5, therefore thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen, and against all Edomia, which have appointed my land into their possession. Okay, they've appointed, how do they appoint the Israelites' land into their possession? Well, today they do it through the United Nations. Okay, Edomia. Okay, Edomia, I don't have a cross reference there. Maybe you want to write Isaiah 34 in the margin. Okay, and that'll run you back. And Edomia is another name for Edom. Okay, the descendants of Esau. Today we call it Jordan or Saudi Arabia. It's interesting, he says the residue of the heathen. So the heathen are also going to be dying, in the tribulation. So, but the ones that are real will not repent. They are going to continue down that path. They're going against Israel. It says, which have appointed my land, that's God's land, into their possession with the joy of all their heart, they're reveling in it, with despiteful minds, to cast it out for a prey. Okay, so prophesy therefore concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains, to the hills, to the rivers, to the valleys, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury. So this is a jealous parent over their child, because ye have borne the shame of the heathen. Let's try second time he used the word jealousy here, and the other time he used the word fire of my jealousy. So you have the jealousy here and his fury. Let's try Zephaniah. Okay, Zephaniah, Zeph. It's a Z, so it's toward the end of the Old Testament. That's how you kind of remember those. But it doesn't go alphabetical. Zephaniah is before Zechariah. Okay, Zephaniah 3:8 is a 2,600-year-old prophecy. Okay, that was fulfilled about 11 years before I was born, 1948. So in Zephaniah 3:8, therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations that I may assemble the kingdoms. Okay, so it's called a United Nations Assembly. They have a statue out front. They've got a small phrase there. Let their plowshares be beat into, or swords into plowshares. It's just a very small phrase out of Isaiah 2:4. They only take the phrase, but they don't want the idea that the Lord's going to do that. So kick him out, but we'll take these positive words and try to unite everybody, and do this wonderful thing for the world as long as we're in charge. Okay, so United Nations. Now, I can't help my disdain for the United Nations, because when I was a little kid, when we drove across State Road 10 there from, Roselawn across toward the DeMott, okay, just a half a mile east of I-65 on State Road 10, somebody put a huge billboard out there, and it said, get us, U.S., out of the U.N. Brother Paul, you remember that billboard? Dad, you remember that billboard? I'd see that time and time again, and that sowed a seed in my heart, so it's not my fault. When I understood what that meant. And so, yeah, that's where that comes from. Get us out of the United Nations. UN stands for usual nonsense. Okay, and they are solidly against Israel. America foots half the bill. It's just nonsense, wasting our money. Trump won't do it, but it'd be nice if he just kicks it out of our country. But I don't know. You know, I doubt he's not going to do it because it is fulfilling Bible prophecy. So the Bible prophecy is the Lord says, I'm getting them together. Now, why is the Lord getting them together? If we keep reading the verse, we'll see why. It's not for world peace and unity. It's so that God could only needs to strike one match. He says, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Okay, that's pretty efficient, isn't it? Get them all at one shot. Okay, and then, of course, you know, that's the second coming. The next verse tells us, for them will I turn to a people a pure language that they may call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. That's obviously millennium. So right before the millennium, we have wonderful sound or special effects that God is going to have a great big fireworks at the end of the Daniel's 70th week, and it's going to be kind of enjoyable to watch. So Ezekiel 36, twice there he mentioned jealousy, twice there, or once he says fire, and once he says fury. In Exodus 34, verse 14, the Lord says, my name is Jealous, with a capital J. So the Jehovah Witnesses can actually still be called JW if they actually call God by that name, Jealous name. Jealous, we're Jealous Witnesses. Okay? But that's the right kind of jealousy. Okay, in verse 7, therefore thus saith the Lord God, I have lifted up mine hand, so he's taking an oath. Surely the heathen are round about you, they shall bear their shame. So God has promised this. Okay, it's an oath that nothing will change this promise. Okay, and the Lord promises us certain things. That when you get born again, you're justified. He has promised you will be glorified. That's a promise. Okay, thank God for those promises. And then he says in verse 8, but ye, O mountain of Israel, okay, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. So the restoration of the nation of Israel, the earth will, these mountains, this valley, this land is going to produce for Israel, as God says. Verse 9, for behold, I am with you, and I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown. Okay, so the land of Israel is going to be tilled and sown in the millennial time period, where it actually says, the sower shall overcome the reaper. Now, and that's not a lazy farmer. Okay, I know of some farmers that they actually have to harvest the corn to plant it in the April. Oh, get the combine out, got to get the corn out. Well, it's dried long enough, it's time. No, in the millennial time period, they're going to have four growing seasons. Every season, spring, plant a crop, in the spring, harvest it. July, the next one, plant a crop. It's going to be four times, and it is going to blossom sevenfold. It's going to be beyond our imagination. I mean, that's going to be an amazing thing to see. Okay, and so, why? Because the earth gets born again. Entropy is definitely manifesting itself. Things are falling apart. But the Lord intervenes, and it's called the regeneration. Twice it's found in the Bible. Once is reference to the earth, and the other is reference to our soul. Titus 3:5 is to our soul. Matthew 19:28 is a reference to the earth, where the apostles will sit with Jesus in the regeneration. So verse 10, I will multiply men upon you. Okay, he specifically says men. One is Oriental mindset. Two is the men are going to be the ones who are killed right and left during the tribulation. So much so that Isaiah 4 says there's going to be seven women to one man. Okay, so there, yeah, that's why he's mentioning that. All the house of Israel, even all of it, and the city shall be inhabited, and the waste shall be builded. Okay, they're going to build and be able to inhabit it, their works of their hands. What a blessing. Verse 11, I will multiply upon you man and beast, so the animals, and they shall increase and bring fruit, and I will settle you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than at the beginning. The beginnings, and you shall know that I am the Lord. That at the beginnings, what beginnings? Deuteronomy 8. Okay, you read all the promise of Deuteronomy 8. Then it says, yea, I will cause men to walk upon you. We're jumping back now. I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel, and they shall possess thee. Jumping back into the trib. So he's letting them know. And then he says, and thou shalt be their inheritance, and thou shalt no more henceforth bereave them of men. Thus saith the Lord God, because they say unto you, thou land devourest up men and hast bereaved thy nations. Therefore thou shalt devour men no more. Okay, the promise, they're going to be devoured in the trib. No more, done. Neither be reaved of thy nations any more, saith the Lord. And then he says in Zechariah 8:23, that Gentiles in the tribulation time period, if they're smart, they're going to grab onto the skirt of him that's called a Jew and get a blessing from God through that. Because they'll become the kings and priests of the world. Okay, that's what God initially intended with Israel. When Israel did right, they did have these blessings and nations did flow unto them, like with Solomon. And they actually could loan out money to other nations, and that's where they would charge interest. They would not, should not charge interest to their own people. Okay, but they could to other foreign nations. Now, what Israel has done, they have gotten the same capability, only they've come through it through deception, extortion, and fraud. Isn't that amazing how that Jew still gets in there? Okay, God wants that done voluntarily and above board. But it's been done now through deception, extortion, and fraud. So in verse 15, it says, neither will I cause men to hear in thee the shame of the heathen anymore. Neither shalt thou bear the reproach of the people anymore. Neither shalt thou cause the nations to fall anymore, saith the Lord God. Great promises. Promises to Israel. Okay, and so then we get our promises. So then he said, moreover, okay, additional thoughts. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, son of man. Okay, son of man is a constant repeat through Ezekiel, and you'll find Luke often is one that uses that same title, son of man. So that's it's a Jewish thing, but yet it's a reference to the manhood of Jesus Christ. Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, okay, so prior to this, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Yeah, that's right, they did. They brought in Ashtoreth and Baal and Chemosh and Molech. Okay, they brought in secular humanism. That's what the book of Judges is all about. Doing that which is right in their own eyes. That's secular humanism. That's a religion. The main dogma of secular humanism is the evolutionary theory. The father of the evolutionary theory had no science degree. His only degree was in theology. He got it from Christ Church College. It's a religion. Okay? It's a religion that has no scientific proof to it. Okay? And so you tell them these things and they get all upset and they try to separate science from the Bible. Science and the Bible are completely compatible. It's science falsely so-called and the Bible are incompatible. They don't go together. And the trick is to intermingle them so people can't tell the differences. So let's see, that's 23, their own way, their own doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Okay, an adulterous woman. a whoremonger or whore or whatnot, taken out, unclean. Then he says, wherefore I poured out my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. Okay, so that's Israel, the idols, that's Chemosh, I mentioned all them. And what that leads to is the blood sacrifice of children. Okay, and abortion is very similar. Okay, so that's, let's see, 12. 13, thus saith the Lord, nope, I'm sorry, I'm over here. 18, wherefore I poured out my fury upon them, polluted it. 19, I scattered them among the heathen. Okay, I scattered them among the heathen. Then if you go to James 1 and 1 Peter 1, he scattered them throughout the world. That's tribulation. Okay, here in this context, I scattered them among the heathen. But in the historical light, he scattered them to Babylon. So he, in essence, they were taken to Babylon, but doctrinally, the Lord scatters them to the four corners of the earth and to the uttermost end of the earth. Because that's tribulation time period, where he scatters them everywhere. And that's why James 1 says to the scattered tribes. 1 Peter says the same thing, to the scattered. They're all around, all over the place. Okay, so in historical, he sent them to Babylon. Media Persia comes in. They voluntarily come back to the land. And then when Greece conquers Media Persia, then they voluntarily can go out. This idea of being scattered is a forced thing. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries. Okay, plural, notice, not singular, country of Babylon, it's plural. That's why Ezekiel and many of these prophets will go a short-term prophecy and then a doctrinal prophecy long-term. According to their way and according to their doings, I judge them. Yeah, that's right. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. Yeah, they did. Israel today, the Kabbalah, the Israeli Jewish mysticism. Okay, they have definitely polluted God's name. Okay, if you read the Bolshevik Revolution, the vast majority of the members of that were apostate Jews. And then those apostate Jews under the Lord Balfour Declaration and the settlement of World War I, those apostate Jews sold out the German people. And the German people discovered that. And that's why as a nation they began to hate them Jews. Okay, Henry Ford wrote about some of this. And then you got the fake Jews, apostate Jews, and then the real Jews. Okay, and so that all goes back to the early 1900s, and then the Lord prepared that Jew, and then eventually they got that nation in 1948, and they're supposed to go back to it. Okay, verse 20, when they entered into the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name, when they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. Okay, so this is a thing where you can see that in America, you can see that Paul warned the church that when you, the church, ignore the mystery of the blindness of Israel, and when you, the church, think you're Israel, I'm done with the church. Now, when I say I'm done with it, I'm not saying we lose salvation. They are blinded. They're blinded. Okay, that's why Israel is blinded. You see, God's not done with Israel, but they're blinded. Okay, God's not done with the church, but man, it is so sad to see the blindness. Okay, and it's because they're not believing these words, these promises of this book. So that's a warning Paul gave to the church in Romans 11. This is why people like Steve Anderson says the church or Israel's the church. You know, bad for him, good for us. bad for him, you know. Praise the Lord for us on that. That means we're closer and closer. 21 at the paragraph mark, he said, but I had pity for my holy name. Okay, there, again, here's another prayer promise or a prayer idea. Okay? God has pity because of his holy name, not because of them. The Israel, the E-L at the name of Israel is God's name, and he had pity because of his own name. And so a thing to do in our prayers is remind God, I'm your child. Abba, Father. Okay, and beg God for his mercy. Okay, so it's better to do that than to say, oh, I deserve this. Give me what I deserve. You know, if I'm praying beside somebody and ask God to give me what I deserve, man, I'm gonna scoot away. Because I don't want that earth to open up and, you know, don't give me what I deserve. Have mercy. So it says, I had pity for thy holy name, my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. Yeah, that's right. Israel don't deserve. They do not deserve it at all. So verse 23, I will satisfy my great name, or sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, thus saith the Lord, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Now, is not this contemporary movement going on in this country defiling the name of God? Defiling his word? Okay, I did a study on honesty. I did three videos for online. One is on science, one's conscience, and one is honesty. The word honest and honesty occurs about 11 times in the Bible, and the New King James removed every single time. New American Standard left one out of 11. The NIV took every single one out. The Jehovah's Witnesses did the best. They got 3 out of 11. What do they have a problem with honesty? You see, why would I believe the King James Bible? One is because of the honesty of the translators. And because of the... That's one, only one virtue is needed to figure that out. The honesty of the King James translators, where they italicize words, where they say the manuscripts they had, it wasn't in there. All the New Bibles, they gripe about the King James italicized words, but they put the word in and don't italicize it. They do the same cotton-picking thing. Why? Because they're dishonest. They don't like the word honesty, and honesty is what's necessary to keep your conscience pure. Okay, and so it's just amazing how, man, just a pattern, boom, 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 one after another. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses win the cookie on that one. They get the most. That's a sad thing when the JW translators do better than a Christian Reformed or the NIV. Because that's who funded that, the NIV, the Christian Reformed. But amazing. Okay, 24, I will take you from among the heathen, gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Okay, so that's Israel, obviously. But for the rapture, the Lord's going to take us right out of this heathen, present evil world. Boy, that's a great promise. Okay, verse 25. Oh, a water dog might like to splash around this one. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. Oh yeah, water fellowship, water joy divine, dunking, splashing, an everlasting puddle. Okay, so obviously sprinkle clean water upon you. Doctrinally, how does that work? Well, you take this back to water purification in Numbers 19. And you learn about the doctrine of the water of purification, where they had the washing of the pots and pans because their flesh was connected to their soul, and they had to do these things in order to be cleansed. And in the New Testament, your whole soul and spirit's washed in the blood of the Lamb. So this is a Jewish thing. It's the purification of the flesh. Okay, not of the soul. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness. That's a word that's definitely going to be removed. That's just too straight, too plain, filthiness. And from all your idols will I cleanse you. And then he says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Now this is a promise that he gave it through Jeremiah, Jeremiah 31, and then that promise is repeated in Hebrews. You know, you take your Bible, you take Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you take Acts and Paul's writings out, okay, this is just hypothetical, and throw in Hebrews to the end of the Bible, you won't miss a beat. Because the Lord's ministry was Israel, 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 Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Hebrews, Israel, James, Israel, 1st, 2nd Peter, Israel, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation, all Israel. It's just that we got in that parenthesis. He kept that secret from the foundation of the world. And you know, you can't keep things secret from the devil, but God sure can. How did he hide that for so long? But yet you can find it sprinkled throughout the Old Testament. That's an amazing thing what God can do. Okay, so this is the rebirth of a nation. Okay, remember, Jesus Christ is the first person born of God. Okay, since he's the first, nobody in the Old Testament got born again. Okay, so since Jesus is the first one born of God, and as a result of the great price at Calvary, now we have the wonderful new birth that's available to us where we get born again. Okay, at the end of the tribulation time period into the millennium, the earth gets born again, and the nation of Israel gets born again as a corporate body. And that's what he's talking about, this new heart and this new spirit. Okay, Isaiah 66. And it is a tad bit interesting that it's in chapter 66 to parallel the 66th book of the Bible when Israel gets the new birth. In Isaiah 66 verse 7, it says, before she travailed, she brought forth, before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. That travailing in pain is symbolized by Jesus Christ in John 16 to be the tribulation. So what happens after that? Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Yeah, that new birth is that fast. Or shall a nation be born at once? Yeah, that's right. The new birth is that quick. For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. The travailing is the tribulation. The millennium is the birth. So the earth gets born again. Israel gets born again. And thank God during the church time period, every sinner that comes to Christ gets born again. And that's that new birth. And as that new birth, then we get the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God starts sanctifying us. As we yield to the Spirit. So Israel is going to have this new birth as a corporate, the remnant is going to get this new birth. And he's giving them a new heart and a new spirit. He's going to take away the stony heart out of their flesh. I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall know my judgments and do them. Great promise to Israel. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. Why? Tribulation? The famine? I will multiply the fruit of the tree, and the increase of the of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of my famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. I thought we were supposed to have a high self-esteem. You know? You should have a clear conscience. People have a clear conscience, usually have a bad memory. It's a good conscience, it's a pure conscience, is what we should have, not a clear conscience. Now, I know it's cleared by the blood of Christ, it's purged. Okay, but in this context, when a person sees the light, and the closer you draw to the light, the more of the darkness you see of yourself. And so it's interesting about Paul. If you watch his growth in grace, okay, one time he said, I am the least of all the apostles. Okay, he grew in grace. I am the least of all the saints. He grew in grace. I am the chiefest of sinners. The closer he got to God, the worse he felt about himself. Loathed himself. Why? Because when we compare ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no comparison. And we recognize that we're nothing but animated dirt ball, then we can be happy because God saved us. We can rejoice in that grace. You know, I like to use the word Christian, where you have Christ, I-A-N, and that means I am nothing. And God can create something out of nothing, and if we remain in our nothingness, then God can create something out of us. If we think we're somebody, the only thing he can do to a pride person is whap them upside the head to try to knock some sense into them, give them some humble pie, where he says a better method is to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift thee up. So, okay, that's Ezekiel 36 up to 31. Yeah, well, let's real quick finish it out. Okay, let's see, 33, thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from your iniquities, I skip 32, not for your sakes do I do this, saith the Lord God, be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. So God does this for his sake, and he's going to brag about his grace throughout eternity, according to Ephesians 2. Okay, the rest of this, he's talking about the fruitfulness of the land. Thus said the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, okay, promised, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded. And the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. Gets born again. This is what the Jehovah Witness is trying to put off in pretty little comic books. Put a little pictures, door to door, telling people about a kingdom. But they don't tell them you have to be Jewish to accept this gospel. And none of them even know if they have eternal life. What a thing. It says, and the waste and the desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Amen. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. Again, the repeating of the idea of men is because all the men that die in the trib. And then he says, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast. Finally, they are holy. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Great promise of the restoration of the nation of Israel. Great promise. Okay, we'll stop there. I'm going to 37. Oh, 37 is the ankle bones next to the knee bone. Maybe we can get a rap song going. Have it for me next week. Okay, good. That's your assignment. Okay.